Oye, oye, oye.
Do you wonder what voir dire is? What is involved in the process of arraignment? And who was that Marbury fellow anyway? Welcome to Speaking Plainly, Breaking Down the Law, a collaborative series that will break down questions about the law into everyday language. Now, here are your hosts, criminal justice professor Dr. Christine Artello and public affairs librarian Nia Rogers.
Hi, Dr. Artello.
Hi, Nia.
Okay, so Skippy has done his appeals and it didn't work, and so now he's gone to jail. So what happens now?
So that's it for Skippy. He will probably serve about 20 to 30 years in jail for murder.
So he could get out of jail after his sentence.
Yes, he could. And let's say, you know, he's 30 years old. He could potentially make it to 60.
Mm-hmm. So that means that he'll be 50, 60 when he gets out of jail. What will life like be like for him afterwards?
Well, it depends in part on whether he's released on supervised release or if he's released directly from his sentence. If he's released on supervised release, this is the federal equivalent to parole, and he will have to meet certain conditions.
What conditions?
Typically, curfew. You need to be in every night from 9 p.m. to 6 a.m. unless work-related reasons are why you're out late. You know,
you work an overnight job. You work the graveyard shift somewhere.
Exactly.
Or your job works till 10 p.m. or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but do you have to go home right after that?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, and you're usually required to be employed or to participate in work preparation activities. You have to report regularly to the supervising officer.
Is that a parole officer? Is that what that's called?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. In many places, it will be called parole, but because we're federal and we have to be different, it's called supervised.
Ah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
But that's equivalent?
The equivalent, yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And you have to live within a defined area, and you can't leave without permission. And if your employment changes, you need to promptly notify your supervising officer of changes in any employment status. He could not possess any guns or other weapons. And Skippy will also agree to have law enforcement search of his residence, possessions, and self anytime.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Like, he'd just be laying in bed and they can boom, boom, boom. We want to come in and look around?
Yes.
Okay.
And he cannot break the law.
Well, wow. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of restrictions. So what if he's simply released without supervision?
Well, in that case, he's not going to have any of these supervision conditions, but he's going to be living with a felony conviction. And restrictions on felons vary by the state. The types of restrictions for a felon include, for many, they can't vote in the jurisdiction. They can't travel abroad for some, not all, but for some. They can't carry or own guns. They can't serve on a jury.
Really?
Yes. Yes. Well, and if you think about it, remember when we talked about jury selection.
You have feelings about the judicial system.
Exactly. So in the same...
You have a lot of feelings. They would be very complicated. Okay.
Yes. And remember when we talked victims, if you're a victim
right.
of a crime. So it's very similar in some ways that we don't allow an individual who had been victimized in the same way that those cases, so they would be excused from the jury. So would someone who's been convicted of a felony.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So they could be prevented to work from... in certain areas, depending on what their crime was. They may not have access to public social benefits and housing and may lose their parental custody or have their visitation greatly restricted.
Yeah, see, yeah, that's a lot. I thought that states were restoring rights for, like, voting rights for felons and stuff. I mean, what's going on with that?
Well, some states have made a few changes in that, but it's only part of it. For example, in Florida, there was a referendum that passed that was to return the vote to felons, convicted felons. However, when the legislature came back in session, They decided to resolve your felony conviction, you also had to pay all fees related to it. In many cases, the fees will never be paid off for decades. So while you've done everything else and you're no longer on the conditions, you're still paying back a little bit at a time for all of those court fees. And so you could be paying those back for the next 10, 20 years before you get your voting rights back.
So it sounds like they're not getting their voting rights back, basically. And
that appears to be what's happening. So while they have fulfilled everything else, they still can't vote. It's simply another way for the legislature to restrict that vote. Now, in other states, they're returning the vote to nonviolent felons. So if your felony was a nonviolent one, drug possession.
Stealing a car.
Yes.
Okay.
Then in those cases, they would be able to vote. But Skippy had a violent offense. It was murder. So in those states.
Yeah, there's no way to do that nonviolently, yeah. Is there? Here, come here and let me gently murder you. Yeah, that's not so much. Okay, mm-hmm. So I guess I can understand about the guns, especially if the crime was a violent one. But and now that you've explained the jury thing, I think I understand about the jury. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I can see that because we don't allow victims to serve. But is there anything else? Are we missing anything else?
So, well, the social policy and benefits we've talked about. So, for example, in most states, convicted felons are not allowed to apply for federal or state grants, live in public housing, or receive federal cash assistance, SSI, or food stamps, among other benefits.
Wait, I'm sorry. Can I ask a question here? Federal or state grants, meaning like Pell Grants to help you go to college and
yes.
stuff like that? So it sounds like it just make it harder for felons to move on with their lives and not commit crimes. Why is the system like this?
Many states enacted these laws in the name of law and order. And some people believe that felons forfeit their rights to participate fully in our society because their crimes so violated the social contract with the rest of us. And that's what their belief is. And
so is there anything else? Is there, I mean, this seems like it's bad enough, but is there anything else?
There is. If they are parents, they face many challenges. Convicted felons also see their parental rights diminish, especially if in the case of custody battles or divorces.
Like what part of their parental rights?
If you're a custodial parent when you're incarcerated, the child may be put into foster care if there are no other relatives who are able to take care of the child. Or they don't have a father, or they don't have a mother, and they only have one parent. And if the parent's in jail for, you know, more than 2 or 3 years, they might lose their rights altogether because there are states that require child protective services to find a permanent home for a child within a reasonable time. And usually the reasonable time is anywhere between a year to 2 years.
So if Skippy had a kid long gone, because
yes.
20 to 30 years in prison is a long...
Yes.
I guess I understand that in the sense that you can't have a kid and limp. Like, somebody has to raise this child.
Yes, but I will say, the older the child, the more likely they're bonded to that parent, and the more likely the parent is bonded to the child. So trying... This is one motivator to keep individuals on the straight and narrow. So you would think we would try to find some way in which to make this situation work. And depending on the crime, convicted felons don't necessarily lose all their parental rights. Of course, Skippy was convicted of murder.
Right.
So he's probably screwed if he's a daddy.
Yeah.
And while they might not lose their parental rights at the time of the conviction, it's going to affect them down the road. So let's say that there is a custody battle. This is going to raise a red flag for a judge if you have a violent offense, such as domestic violence or murder. Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. I mean,
yes.
I can... on one side, it feels unfair, but on another side, I understand the judge has got to protect the child.
Mm-hmm. So, and also, just having a felony conviction on your record is a permanent stain. It's very hard in some jurisdictions to expunge that record. And even if you haven't done anything for 30 or 40 years, expunging a felony conviction is very hard in certain jurisdictions. So that's going to be difficult. And you might find difficulty applying for a job because you're going to have to possibly check that box.
Yeah, we've talked about, I've talked about checking the box with friends where, you know, if you don't check the box, you're lying. And if you're caught lying, you'll be fired. And if you check the box, they might not hire you because, right? And in some places, it's not just felony that you have to check the box for, right? It's other things too. So,
yes.
So it's a horrible decision to sit there when you're filling out the application and decide whether to check the box or not.
Yes. And right now, we have banned the box campaigns going across the country. And as of July 2019, nationwide, 35 states and over 150 cities and counties have adopted Ban the Box. So the employers consider a job candidate's qualifications first without the stigma of a conviction or an arrest record. Because sometimes it's just an arrest. It's not even a felony conviction.
Oh, really? Some boxes are, I've never seen that. I've only seen, have you been convicted of it? Mm-hmm. But I'm glad to hear it. That's good news. At least that's some improvement on their situation.
Yes.
But it sounds to me like your life is just drastically different after you've committed a crime like this and or if you've been convicted.
Yes.
Because I assume that even if you haven't been convicted, all these things still, I mean, even if you didn't do it, but you were convicted, all of these things still apply.
Yes.
So, wow. Okay. We've made it through the whole thing.
We have.
Okay. This has been really instructional for me. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. I'm happy that we made it through and we found out what happened to Skippy.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, that's good.
This was Speaking Plainly, Breaking Down the Law. The discussion here is purely academic. For legal advice, please seek an attorney. Thanks to the workshop for technical assistance. Special effects by Isaac Hobson. Find more information at scholarscompass.vcu.edu.